Alrighty, how we doing? Hour number four of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, host on CBS Sports Radio. So, the biggest story right now is Aaron Rodgers. And we wait some more to figure out if the white smoke will finally happen tomorrow when Rodgers does speak with Pat McAfee and if he'll say, I'm leaving Green Bay, and not only am I leaving Green Bay, I am going to the New York Jets. It is clear. I think it's 99.9%. I'll leave one-tenth open for Rodgers to do something crazy, like go into a cave for a bunch of days and go participate in a darkness retreat. I never thought I'd be saying that on a national radio show. But when you see Alan Lazard just out of nowhere, oh, the Jets have interest. Like, don't get me wrong. Alan Lazard's a good player. Alan Lazard, even if they don't end up getting Rodgers, is fine to bring into the Jets. But when you see Lazard just brought up and also, oh, Rodgers making demands that Lazard's there, that it's Randall Cobb, that it's Mercedes Lewis, and maybe Odell Beckham Jr. as well. Nathaniel Hackett is the offensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers. The Jets have called their shot. They have pushed all the poker chips into the table, in the middle of the table. And you know it's Rodgers or bust. And when you allow Carr to walk to the Saints, you make sure that Jimmy G winds up with the Raiders. It is inevitable. Unless he retires, he ain't going back to Green Bay. And I don't think he's retiring, that Aaron Rodgers is going to be suiting up for the Jets. So there's a lot of big storylines entering next season. And I'm not going to say it's the biggest, but I do think two major storylines, Hickey, are how far will the Jets go? And also, we're finally going to get an answer in a three-year question. And I don't think you get all your answers in year one, but what does Jordan Love look like as the full-time starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers? And I'm going to ask you a question right now, Ryan, that I think I know what you're going to say. But sometimes you throw some curveballs, and I think I could predict you, and I end up swinging and missing. And then I want to see if it matches when we go through the schedules. Next year, Aaron Rodgers starting for the Jets, Jordan Love starting for the Green Bay Packers. The Jets play in a tougher division and a tougher conference. The NFC North is improving. I know the Bears just got DJ Moore. And they're going to get a bunch more picks, but I don't think the Bears are ready to compete. The Lions are ascending. The Vikings had a really good year. Is there some regression this year? I don't know. And I don't know what the Packers will be. But you look at the NFC in the entire picture, you feel good about Philadelphia. Dallas, right, they'll make the playoffs to other expectations. 49ers, you feel really good about. Will the Giants continue to rock and roll? I know they got Darren Waller today, which is a good move for them. Are the Seahawks going to be able to replicate and improve off what they did a year ago? Like, there are a lot of questions in the NFC. Like, the Saints, they got the best quarterback for now in the division. But are they going to necessarily be a force? Probably not. So, when I ask you the simple question, who will have a better year in 2023, will it be the Jets or the Packers? What do you think the answer is going to be on that one?
Jets.
Now, I'm assuming that's based off a record standpoint, right?
From a strict win-loss, yes. The Jets will have more wins than the Packers.
Because let's just say if the Jets have 10 wins next year, but then they lose in the playoffs in the first round, and Rodgers doesn't play great in the first round. But let's say Green Bay goes 8-9. And they don't make the playoffs, but Jordan Love gives you enough tangible moments where you think he could be the guy. Like, you could argue going 8-9 with basically no expectations and thinking you now have your answer with Jordan Love could be viewed as a better year than even though you would be, what, 10-7 and you went all in and that's really what you got. Like, the better record's the better record, but I think the way we could talk about it is you could be more optimistic maybe about the Packers at the end of the year than the Jets.
Well, yeah, because the Jets have such a short window that it's 2 years, maybe three, to win a Super Bowl and get as much as you can. Where, like you said, the Packers, things go well. You have a decade of Jordan Love. So you're right. I don't disagree. Like 8-9, but Jordan Love looks really good and you feel good about your future. Yeah, you could consider that a win compared to the Jets having a better record, going to the playoffs, not winning a playoff game, just because, again, it's just so intense. The pressure is so high because the window is so small.
And don't get me wrong. The Jets will have the better record. As long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy, the Jets will have a better record than the Green Bay Packers this year. But just entertain me here, because it's never too early to do a little quick win-loss on the 14th day of March in the year of 2023. I'm going to give you the Jet opponent. You just tell me win-loss, first thing that comes to your mind. And we don't know the order of these games. We don't know how all these teams are going to look in its entirety, but it's operating under the belief that Rodgers is going to be starting for the Jets, and Jordan Love's going to be starting for the Packers. So I'll start you off with the Jets. Commanders at MetLife Stadium.
Win.
At Dallas. Ooh, that could be, you know,
a good game.
That could be Thanksgiving.
That is a good game. I will,
you know what?
Say,
that could be, that Hickey, that could be Thanksgiving, or that could be first Sunday night game of the year. They always love to put the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football to open up the year, it seems like. You know, we've seen, right,
that
Cowboys
would be a good
and Bucks.
Sunday night.
That would be pretty good to open up the year. Rodgers at Dallas to open up the year. I don't know how TV protections work. If not, though, that could be a Thanksgiving type of game.
I will go win. And I think the last time the Jets were on Thanksgiving, wasn't it the butt fumble?
Wow, was it that
it
long ago?
It might have been. I mean, think about how bad the Jets have been in recent years.
I was at that game. We tailgated in the parking lot with the lasagna. It was great.
That would be quite the dichotomy of having that, you know, with then, now Aaron Rodgers and your team next time you're on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I don't think that would go too well for my team, if I'm being fair.
Well, I'm saying the Jets fans, like the last time you're on Thanksgiving, butt fumble, one of the worst moments. I'm saying now you have Aaron Rodgers,
sure,
you're feeling a lot better about being on Thanksgiving the next time.
So you're saying that's a win for the Jets?
Win for
the
Jets.
The Packers there. How many times are we going to do that?
At least for the first week, a few times.
All right. At Denver. Your boys.
Loss. Mile high.
You are such a pom-pom just cheerleader for the Denver Broncos.
They're a good team.
Oh, that's what you said last year.
I predicted they're winning 12 games this year, so, you know.
Yeah.
I'm being consistent.
You may be smoking what they're smoking in Denver.
They had a good offseason so far. Good free agent spending.
Okay. At the Raiders.
Win.
At the Dolphins.
Loss.
At New England.
This is tough. I will say...
Is it really?
Win. I don't trust the Jets going into... I know it's different. They've had monumental struggles in New England. I couldn't even tell you the last time they won in there. I will say win hesitantly.
Okay. Ooh, I didn't realize this. At the Giants. Basically a home game as... You know, I know it's technically a Giant home game, but that's a... Not bad for the Jets.
No, that's nice. You don't have to go anywhere. I will say win. I think they're better than the Giants.
Buffalo.
Loss.
That is at the all. That's at MetLife Stadium, by the way.
I think they'll split a lot of division games. So I'll say at home win.
Okay. So you're at 6 wins already. Dolphins, MetLife Stadium.
Gave them a loss before. I'll give them a win now.
Okay. New England, MetLife Stadium.
Win.
Okay. Kansas City. This is at MetLife.
Loss.
Well, that's a good game.
That is a good
that's
game.
If they get Rodgers, assuming they do, that's a primetime game.
That is a great game. Loss, though.
Chargers, MetLife Stadium. Also potential another primetime game.
Yes.
Herbert Rodgers.
I will say L for the Jets.
Ooh, Eagles, MetLife Stadium. Another
wow.
Potential primetime game. Notice how juicy the Jets schedule gets.
Great home game slate, too, by the way. Wow. I will go loss. For the Jets.
At Buffalo.
Loss.
At Cleveland.
Win.
Houston. This game is at MetLife Stadium.
Win. Doesn't matter where it is. Could be on the moon.
And then the Falcons at MetLife Stadium.
Win.
Do you have the Jets with 11 wins?
I think it's fair, right? 11
yeah,
and 6.
I think it's
fair. Egregious.
Maybe give or subtract a win. I think they're anywhere with Rodgers in that 10 to 12 win category.
Which is a playoff team, which is exactly bare minimum next year, what you should be. Bare minimum.
Okay. Now I will give you the Packers schedule operating with Jordan Love as QB1.
And whoever the hell is going to be at receiver with this exodus going to New York.
Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. I bet you they've hung out outside the facility with Aaron Rodgers.
I would bet $1 million that they've hung out with Jordan Love outside the facility.
And you still got Aaron Jones on the defensive side of the ball. You got Kenny Clark, obviously. and Jair Alexander.
Yes, you do.
Got some pieces there.
It's not all barren.
Now, let's see. You know. I think the biggest, actually, outside of Jordan Love and what he will be as a starting quarterback, we'll actually start to see what Boy Wonder, Boy Genius could be.
Sean McVay. Matt LaFleur. You're right.
Because I think that dude is overrated. I used to get a lot of pushback when I would have put in my top 10 for coaches. And there's been a lot of moments where everyone's like, oh, look at his record. Look at his record. But I have not been making it out to be that guy is the next coming of Lombardi like some other people are.
You are definitely right about that. We will learn a lot from, as you call him, Boy Wonder, which is confusing. Don't you also call Sean McVay Boy Wonder?
Yeah.
I know they're kind of look alike a little bit.
But at least
kind of
McVay has
scene.
A championship and has been to two Super Bowls.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I refer to, I don't know if this is great to say in the year of 2023 after what's happened, but I refer to Sean McVay years ago as sounding like John Gruden, except on helium.
Well, he does sound like him, yeah. Like, he talks like him, sounds like a guy, like, has, like I said, had too much helium. His voice is very high, higher than mine, which
just
is good.
Don't send emails like John Gruden, and you'll be fine.
That is, or even coach like him the second time. That's true, too, you know?
Dude, what
they
an over...
just with the times.
What an overrated coach that guy is after winning that Super Bowl in Tampa Bay.
Go figure, the 2002 playbook doesn't work in 2021.
Yeah.
Shocker.
That's a dude that should have never came back. Like, I don't know how much money he ended up eventually getting. I know they did settle, and he had the $100 million contract, so easy for me to say. And remember, he said if it didn't work out, he would give it all back. Yeah, bull you know what. But if I was him, I would have just stayed at Monday Night Football until I just didn't want to be in football anymore. I would have never gone back to the Raiders also. I know he loves the organization, but I just would not have gone back. I don't know, maybe that got Adam with how he left the Raiders and then goes to Tampa and then beats him in the Super Bowl. Maybe he thought he owed it to the Davis family to go back to the Raiders, but come on. That was stupid. That's a coach that's addicted to coaching and even 10 years can't get out of his system and had to go back. You know what I actually give credit to? Bill Cowher. Bill Cowher did it right. One, then eventually got out and then went to TV and never decided to come back when tons of teams would have welcomed back the services of Bill Cowher. You know, Tony Dungy, too. You know, Tony Dungy, when he left the Colts, Hickey, you probably would have thought that he would eventually have come back. And he said last year in August when he joined us in studio, the only job that he almost contemplated taking was the Lions job years and years ago. That was the only job that almost made him maybe said, okay, I'll come back and coach.
Sometimes, you know, it's just better to walk out the hero than come back and see yourself turn into the villain. And it's tough.
You're right.
How many times Bill Cowher's name? It's been at least three or four different times.
Still now.
It's even recently. Wasn't it before Robert Saleh got hired? Wasn't there something with the Jets where there's a rumor of Bill Cowher wanting
to? Oh, yeah, Boomer
on
the NFL Network, NFL Today set.
Up and said something he wasn't supposed to, or something like that. But it's over almost a decade since he stopped coaching. His name's still up there, and he hasn't moved. And I think if you're Bill Cowher, it's the right move.
And he's not ancient. He's only 65. You know, Tony Dungy's 67. You get back in it.
But it's also, too, one of those things when you're away from it so long. I know those guys are around the game. Even John Gruden was around the game because you're still broadcasting the game.
Totally different, though.
But when you're right, when you're not in it and the actual coaching so much has changed from schemes, how you do, you know, talk to players, it's just hard to adjust.
So you had the Jets at 11?
Jets at 11 wins, 11-6.
Packers with Love. We'll start with their home schedule, all home games. Bears.
Win.
Lions.
Loss.
Vikings.
Win.
Ooh, okay.
Chiefs. Kirk Cousins in Lambeau, I'm never picking them. Chiefs loss.
Chargers.
Loss.
Rams.
Win.
Saints.
Ooh, interesting. Outside, right? And this is home game?
Yes. Well, it depends what time of the year. If you're the Packers, you hope that's a December game.
Yes.
Have Carr go into the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
I will say win for the Pack.
Buccaneers.
Win.
Ooh, that could be Baker Mayfield and
Jordan
Love.
Wow, that's a doozy. What could have been last year, Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady, is now Jordan Love versus Baker.
All right, so 5 wins on the home schedule. That's not bad first year without Rodgers.
Not a bad, you know, finishing third place has its perks.
Bears on the road. We go to the road schedule.
I think they're going to be feisty this year. I'll say loss.
Lions.
Loss. I think they get swept.
Vikings.
Loss.
Falcons.
Win.
Panthers.
Win.
Could depend when in the year that is. Like, I would start Stroud or Young if that's who you're drafting week one, but if that's like week one and they elect to start Andy Dalton.
A lot of money for backup.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder what they're doing.
Broncos.
Loss. Come on.
Anytime I mention the Broncos, you don't hesitate. It's just like, oh, Broncos win. Jeez Louise. And Gallo, who's a big Broncos fan, was annoyed with you. He goes, can you start having him say negative things about the Broncos so they actually start to turn out to be a good football team? Because you're the hickey hex when it comes to the Broncos. Raiders.
Win.
Giants.
Loss.
Steelers.
Oh, interesting game. I will say loss.
All right, see, I'm going 8-9.
Oh, wow. That worked out kind of.
It's kind of how we talked about it. You had 11 for the Jets and then 8 for the Packers. And honestly, if you're a Packers fan, even if you lose one more or you win one more, if you're in that realm of anywhere between 7 and 9 wins this year, I think you sign for that in a heartbeat. Because that means Love is weathering the storm of the ups and downs. I know it's not his rookie year, but really his first true year as a starter. And I'm sure there's going to be a heavy dose of Jones and Dylan, and you have to manage the game correctly. But you got to let him air that ball out to Watson. And Romeo Doubs. And we'll see how quickly he could build those relationships with them. And who else is going to be on the roster after the exodus of one Aaron Rodgers to the JATS Jets? That defense could be big, though. Defense could be big. That run game and the defense, that's how the Packers will win a lot of games this year. And you're going to need that defense with Kenny Clark and Jaire Alexander and Preston Smith and Devondre Campbell and guys like Quay Walker. You're going to need that defense to step up in a big way. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS.
Last year, you may have made some smart decisions, and you may have made some not-so-smart decisions. Like, maybe you had one too many shots of tequila at your company party. The good news is, making smart financial decisions is easier than you think. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the weekly know-how you need to get ahead. Sean and Sarah, the hosts of Smart Money, break down the latest financial news and give you honest, objective money advice. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Sports Radio. We will take a break and be on back in 5 minutes.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. This is not the Patriot fan bringing this up. This was sent to me by Hot Take Hickey. The Big Lead just put out an article that says Aaron Rodgers to the Patriots would be a hilarious twist. Now, the author of the article is Ryan Phillips. This is not me being a douchey talk show host and saying I have no clue who he is when I actually know who he is. I do not know who he is. I don't know if he has any ties to New England, if he's a Patriot fan or whatever. Let me just click his bio real quickly. Oh, Ryan is a senior writer at the Big Lead. A San Diego-based sports writer. He holds a journalism degree from Indiana University. He has no children, no pets, two bad knees, and a crippling addiction to HBO Go. You know what? Let me say this. That's a very good bio to have.
You like that, huh?
Yeah.
No kids, no wife, no knees either.
It's basically saying this guy really doesn't have much of a social life. His knees suck. All he does is sit around and watch HBO Go. And at least he made a good decision to go to San Diego after graduating from Bloomington, at Indiana. I guess that's pretty much how I read that bio. But anyway, he just writes this article that this is not based off any sourcing. No inside information, no speculation. He just threw out the idea of the Patriots at the last moment swooping in and stealing Aaron Rodgers from the Jets. He ends the article by saying, again, I have no evidence something like this will happen. I just think it would be the most entertaining outcome of this whole saga. Entertain me here for a second, Hickey. Belichick calls up Rodgers. Ring, ring, ring.
It's Bill. Are you out of that darkness cave? Would you be interested in coming to One Patriot Place and, getting the opportunity to compete for the starting quarterback job with the New England Patriots?
Your response, Mr. Rodgers.
Who's your wide receivers?
Billy. Kendrick Bourne and also Devontae Parker.
Coach, I'm not just a quarterback, I'm also the GM. Can I get some roster control and bring my guys in?
Yeah, you could shut the bleep up.
Coach, how about the offense? Can I call the plays? You know, I'm kind of also the GM, the quarterback, and the play caller.
Meh. That was an answer, by the way.
Meh. Okay, where do I sign, Coach? I'm in.
Do you think Rodgers would be oohed and aahed by Bill Belichick? Like, say what you want about Rodgers. He does respect the history of the game. And there's always been that thought of, oh, if Rodgers was coached by Belichick, Belichick would definitely have Rodgers more than one ring on his finger.
I don't think that would work out. Because I still think at the end of the day, Rodgers wants his freedom. I think we're seeing it with the Jets right now. He is basically running the Jets. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be LeBron James of the NFL. He wants to go to the team he wants to go to. He wants to basically bring all the players he wants to bring with him, run his own offense, do everything his way. And as we know, Bill Belichick does things one way. And guess what? I may hate Bill Belichick. His way has worked pretty dang well. I would say if you had to choose the Rodgers way or the Belichick way, I would say most people would choose the Belichick way. I don't think Bill's now going to change his way to follow the Rodgers way.
And if you think about it, the Patriots situation right now is very similar to what he had in Green Bay. No, like, great wide receivers. I know that Devontae Adams was there, but I'm talking about, like, last year. You don't have any great wide receivers. You got a good run game with Ramondre Stevenson and Harris. You got a very good defense. Like, Green Bay has a very good defense, right? There's probably better pieces on the Packers offense, but the Patriots have a better defense than the Packers defense. It's a very similar situation, except here's the one difference. The NFC North, you know, outside of this year, got a little bit better. The NFC North is a lot easier to win if you were Rodgers, if you stayed in Green Bay, that would be going to the AFC East, even with Bill Belichick. Because you got the Bills in the way. If you have a healthy Tua, then the Dolphins could be a really damn good team. And then, you know, the Jets would kind of be out of it because who knows what they would scramble to if Aaron Rodgers ended up with the Patriots. But I think there would be more motivation for Bill to get this done than Rodgers to get this done. And you know Belichick can't stand the Jets. It's not going to happen, but just since the big league threw it out there as speculation, it's something that Hickey wanted me to bring up.
Would you want to? Like, would you want for it to happen? Would you root right now for Aaron Rodgers to be a New England Patriot? Especially what you see with the Jets recently?
Does Alan Lazard flip at the last second? It's not official.
I would say yes. I mean, it would be the first time someone with the Patriots-associated, you know, flipping teams.
Yeah.
Or staying where they are, or going back on their word is maybe the right way.
And screwing the Jets.
When it has something to do with the Patriots.
Can I get Odell?
And sure, you want Odell, sure. And listen, it's Aaron Rodgers' team if you're going to sign up for that experience.
As much as I like Mac and I had oatmeal next to him at the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd be in.
Toss him to the side.
I'd be in. That'd be fun.
The guy who's once your Twitter profile picture.
Yeah.
No more.
Things change.
Life comes at you fast, huh? Rookie quarterback going to the playoffs. 2 years later, you're off Twitter, and now you're off the team.
I thought Will Brinson had a great tweet today. Did you see this tweet at all?
No.
Aaron Rodgers currently runs the Jets, owns the Bears, quarterbacks the Packers.
That must have got ripped off. I saw someone else tweet that. That is very funny and also very accurate. Not bad doing three things at once.
Uh-oh. Now you got a little problem here. Will Brinson may have ripped it off from someone.
Uh-oh.
PackersHistory.com. They have 6,777 followers. They put that tweet out at 2:27 p.m. Eastern time today. Today's the 14th, right?
Today's the 14th.
Will Brinson put that out at 4:33 p.m.
Eastern. Oh, boy.
Now, was the order the same? Oh, wow.
Well, he may have switched it.
He swapped the order.
Yeah, to make it seem like.
He did runs the Jets. That was one. He put GM of the Jets. The Packers history at GM of the Jets. Willhead owns the Bears. PackersHistory.com, owner of the Bears. And then quarterback of the Packers was the third option. For PackersHistory.com was the first option, QB of the Packers. Yeah, it's a...
And that tweet made the rounds. PackersHistory.com, it sounds familiar. That's the one that I saw with that good tweet. There's no way it was just a coincidence.
Yeah, that's a bad job.
That's a tough look. I don't know why people do that. He's not the only one to do it. Plenty of people do it.
Yeah, but like,
I mean, come on.
If you're Will Brinson, one tweet, like, you've already had enough success. Like, you have 90, not that we equate all the time followers to success, but you have 93,000 followers. You have nearly 100,000 followers. PackersHistory.com has 6,770. And I don't know if this necessarily was the case, but if he saw that tweet and goes, oh, I'm going to rip it off for myself because I have a lot of other followers, then you're just being a douche. Or what you should have done, if that's the way that it did go down, you just quote tweet PackersHistory.com and was like, oh, great tweet.
A few laughing emojis, maybe just throw it the straight retweet. But it's also a bad look when you have a big following, if this is the case, and he didn't know, which I find hard to believe, and you have basically the same exact tweet. Bad luck.
Now other people could be creative. You know, you could have the same thought. It's happened before. Like, I've tweeted things that other people have tweeted, and they're like, oh, you stole this from me. I'm like, I didn't even know you existed.
But there are, when there's big topics, yes, sometimes people have the same witty tweets, or you see the same GIFs or memes all the time. There's definitely repetitive tweets. But this is very specific. This is in a certain order, and it's, in a way, a little bit random in the sense that, like, you know, it's not just big piece of breaking news happens and all everyone's reacting at the same time.
Like, it's different when you see it, when you respond to something and you just post a GIF. Like, you could have the same GIF, right? But when it's something that you're actually physically typing out and it's to that level of being witty, you're probably right.
Was it also in the same, like, way it was, like, in the same layout where it was like, because what I saw was one line, like, big space, another, almost like a haiku in a
way.
Was it in the same, like...
Yeah, so Will said Aaron Rodgers currently, PackersHistory.com, said Aaron Rodgers is currently, officially, and then Will went, runs the Jets, owns the Bears, quarterback of the Packers, PackersHistory.com, went QB of the Packers, GM of the Jets, owner of the Bears.
So, like, the layout of the tweet is the same. Ooh, yeah. There's... Sorry.
You know what? Everyone's still happily employed, so it still works. So not like those clowns that run that Syracuse radio station that got rid of Brent Axe. They unfortunately got rid of him because Jim Boeheim is still a big baby. And then the owner of that clown radio station, the guy that runs, I think it's called Galaxy or whatever it is. He's like, oh, yeah, Jim Boeheim had no role in this. He's just an investor in the company.
And also his very good friend that he mentioned a few times in the article as well, that how close they are.
Imagine... And, like, it's not the first time, right, where you've heard of a team have an influence or a university have an influence in programming decisions. Like, I've heard of that before. But Jim Boeheim's, like, out the door. Why do you cater to him now? And it's gutless. The teams that call the radio station, like, oh, your host is being unfair. Like, it happens. I get it. It's happened to me before. Like, you're a bunch of losers. You know, you get that upset about what a host says. Like, if it's out of line, that's different. But if you're just being honest, and I follow Brent a little bit. Like, I don't think Brent is unfair. He's just being honest. What do you want me to tell you? Syracuse basketball has been great. You want me to be one of those pom-pom media members that went to Newhouse? One of those Syracuse snobs? And just go, oh, everything's great. It's all wonderful. Boeheim's the best. He's the greatest thing ever. The last 2 years have been an embarrassment. So, like, what else do you want him to say? Oh, but it got personal. He had a vendetta. Oh, give me a break.
Well, you know why? It's happening now. They want Boeheim to host shows. Oh. He's not just an investor. He's going to be, you know, working. He's going to be hosting shows, calling in, making appearances. And
ugh.
I'm sure that was the only way to get him on the air more as a friend.
You want to listen to Jim Boeheim?
I don't.
Do a radio interview?
I'm sure there's plenty of Syracuse fans next year. They want to hear, you know, where he
just tells you, yeah, you know
what
I'm saying?
Bring the zone back?
No, everything's great. You know, they're doing an incredible job, and you guys aren't intelligent enough to make any suggestions.
Or the irony would be he crushes them. This seems terrible. Yeah. Like, that would be the ironic part. He just hammers them for being like 5-7 to start the year and just completely as negative as Brent was.
Like, but is that really what we're doing? We're getting rid of this radio host because Jim Boeheim is annoyed that he was critical of him. And if you're Boeheim, like, don't you look like the ultimate jerk and bully? If even when you retired, and I know you didn't want to actually retire, you're still going to push to get this guy out of a job. Like, you've made all your money. You don't have to work. Your kids don't have to work. Your grandkids don't have to work. You've made a fortune. And, you know, I don't know Brent's financial situation, but he's a writer and a talk show host. Like, in Syracuse, I can't imagine that he's the most lucrative guy on the planet. Like, and you're really going to cost that guy a job? I'm sorry. That's why I've been very critical. And I can admit, I have showed my true colors on Jim Boeheim because I just don't like the guy. I think the guy has been a bad dude the last 2 years. And I know winning sometimes, you know, gave him excuses and all that. But the last few years, he has just been insufferable and he hasn't won. They should make that guy Ed Levine and Jim Boeheim host the show together. And just call it Syracuse Shills. Because that's what that show would be. And that's what that, unfortunately, I don't know the other talent that's on that station. I think there's some kids at Newhouse that host the show, I think I read. But, like, why would I ever listen to that again? If you say something critical, you're going to lose your job? You know, what are you teaching the kids at Newhouse? That's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. So, yeah, Syracuse is Shills with Boeheim and Levine, where we only talk positively about Syracuse sports. How's that for a programming idea? Bunch of losers.
Dino Babers, you're 0-9. This is a great year, coach. Really, really, you're really doing a bang-up job. I think you should get a promotion.
Yeah.
Get an extension.
Jeez. All right, it is the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. On the shot in style. Next to the closing bell.
You're listening to the Zach Gilb Show.
So two quick things of note. Number one, David Montgomery is leaving the Bears via free agency. He's staying in the NFC North, and he's signing with the Detroit Lions. So even though I thought it was a long shot that the Lions could go trade for Austin Eckler, not only will that take them out of the running for Austin Eckler if they were ever even in it, but if you look at last year's production, Jamal Williams, he was a touchdown machine, and he was really one of like the lone stars on Hard Knocks for the Detroit Lions. Jamal Williams, I think he had 17 touchdowns last year, I want to say, and he had so many at home. Like, it was ridiculous. He has 17 rushing touchdowns, which is the most in the NFL, and one of the best personalities in the game. He is now available. And he's not going to go back to Detroit because they just signed David Montgomery. Can I make a prediction here, Hickey?
Oh, yeah.
New York Jets. I know they have Breece Hall, and he's coming off an injury. Rodgers and Williams did play together in Green Bay for Williams' first 4 years of his career, 2017 to 2020. It would not surprise me if maybe the Lions made this move because either they couldn't get back in on the Jamal Williams market because the price tag was going to be too expensive, or Jamal Williams may have already had his list narrowed down to maybe be joining Aaron Rodgers once again. That wouldn't be good news for our pal Michael Carter, but
no. Now, I will say, I guess, I don't know how much, I mean, the cap room, I know the cap is fake, but the Jets, if they're going to have to sign Randall Cobb, maybe OBJ, bring Aaron Rodgers in, and that's $60 million cap hit that's coming their way right now.
Maybe that's why Rodgers is waiting. He's waiting so he will restructure his deal so he could fit all of his friends. Rodgers and friends will all be in New York.
Why don't you want to do that first? come in, sign the deal, restructure, open up the cap space, and then say, friends, the door is open, welcome.
No, here's why. Because I think he's actually maybe a good friend here. And we'll say, my number's my number. We'll move it around, and I'll still get all my money. Let's figure out how many guys we could get and realistically what it costs. Let's get those deals done, and then I'll come in, and then we'll restructure the deal. That's how I think it's going to go. Now, Jamal Williams may not be going to the New York Jets, but it's just a name that I'll throw out there. Trying to think, like, where else could he go?
Well, I'd swap spaces with David Montgomery and go to the Bears. Bears could use touchdown.
You're right.
Scores, running backs.
That would be a good home.
Austin Eckler now, with all the draft capital that the Bears have.
Dolphins could use him,
maybe
too.
Maybe make a trade. Jamal Williams, yeah.
How about Buffalo?
Buffalo.
Buffalo would be a good destination.
In between the tackles runner. That's what they need, especially by the goal line.
Anyone that will just take a little food off the plate of one Josh Allen. And good locker room guy, too. You don't have to be caught up with any problems in the locker room with him.
That's right. He wears his emotions on his sleeve in a good way.
Yeah. So that's the point, David Montgomery and Jamal Williams. I had another point to make, but... this one. Here we go. So you know this Raiders story?
With Darren Waller getting traded, yes.
He gets traded to the Giants for a third-round pick. Basically, it was Kadarius Toney for Darren Waller because that was the pick that the Giants got back for Kadarius Toney, who they shipped off to Kansas City, ended up winning the Super Bowl and making two big plays in the Super Bowl, a touchdown, and then a punt return that took him down to the 2 or 3 yard line. So the way that this story goes, according to Vic Tafer, is that at the combine, McDaniels was telling people that Waller was about to get married. And he was having his wedding, and supposedly Waller didn't want that to be public knowledge. I don't know if it was with any malicious intent. Maybe it was just McDaniels not knowing he was supposed to share it. And maybe McDaniels was like, hey, like, we want to work on a deal for Waller, but the guy's getting married, so we're not going to trade him now. So, like, let's just, like, we'll look for his personal best interest and wait, like, 10 days from now. But he's available if you want, and we just got to wait for him to get married. So... I don't know what the actual truth is of that story. I guess Waller wasn't happy with McDaniels. Now you do have Waller traded. So Kelsey Plum, who is married now to Darren Waller and plays for the Las Vegas Aces. So they were in Vegas together. Now Waller goes to the Giants, and she's obviously still with the Las Vegas Aces. So RG3 put out a tweet. Darren Waller just got married to Kelsey Plum of the Las Vegas Aces, and Josh McDaniels' wedding present was to trade him to New York. McDaniels is not romantic. Kelsey Plum responded, probably because he wasn't invited to the wedding. LOL. Whew. Don't mess with the wife.
Checks out. Josh McDaniels, bad guy, hated by the players. Makes sense.
And Josh Jacobs was not happy about this deal.
No, he was not.
Alrighty, let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
$11 million a year for Alan Lazard. He is going to be winding up with the JETS, 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 on a four-year deal, and $11 million a year on a three-year deal. Going to the Raiders is Jacoby Myers. Give Alan Lazard and Jacoby Myers a stock up. Brooke Lopez and Trey Lyles. I like the kerfuffle you got into at the game last night to wind what was a really good contest between the Kings and the Bucks. I'm all for it. Brooke Lopez, he looked like he was on a man on a mission defending Giannis and had a hand over his throat, and it did not matter. He was powering through. Good stuff right there. Give them both a stock up. And by the way, Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union. Proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And we just was talking about Brooke Lopez. He came to the defense of Giannis Antetokounmpo at the end of last night's win over the Kings, getting in a fight with Trey Lyles after Lyles shoved the Greek freak at the end of the game. Lopez finished the game with 3 blocks, 8 rebounds, and 23 points as Milwaukee won their NBA-leading 49th game of the season. And I think as long as Milwaukee stays healthy, they're going to win the championship. Klay Thompson, 38 in the game, 33 in the first half last night. Warriors get the dub. Give Klay Thompson a stock up. The Boston Celtics last night. It's tough to lose a game when you look back and you have 40-plus points go in favor of Jaylen Brown, who had 43. Jason Tatum didn't have his best game, but he had 22. And Malcolm Brogdon off the bench had 20 points. If I would have told you last night that they're playing the Rockets, who headed into the game at 15 wins, and Brown would go for 43, Tatum would go for 22, and Brogdon would go for 20, you would have thought they won. Well, Horford only had 2, Smart only had 6, White only had 9, and then Hauser had 5, and you had someone else with 2 points as well to get to 109. Yikes. Rockets win, stock down to the Boston Celtics. And finally, Patriots, what are we doing? I know Jakobi Meyer's not a stud, but what are we doing? Only $11 million a year. Are you really just going to get Bill O'Brien and nothing else this offseason from Mac Jones? Come on, Bill. Wake up. Let's do something. Bill, let's go. It's time to get going. Stock down to the Pats. Big thanks to Bruce Pearl, Jim Larranaga, Mitch Henderson, each and every one of you for calling, listening, and tweeting. You can always give me a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. We'll be back tomorrow for a Monster, Monster, Monster Wednesday show. The man, the myth, the legend, John Fanta, and Moose Johnson will stop by as well. Talk to you then, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace!